Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah once again, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 5. Through the 9th chapter to the 2nd verse, Isaiah 8, verse 5, through Isaiah 9, verse 2. Let us first sing Psalter number 8, stanzas 1 through 4. On the good and faithful God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 8.
repeat, the scripture reading for this morning will be from Isaiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 5, to Isaiah chapter 9, up to verse 2. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Thus far. Isaiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, For as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly, and rejoice in Rezin and in Remaliah's son. Now therefore behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake this to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it, hardly be stead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
We announce at the male members meeting in this past week, Mr. Gerard Braun and Mr. David Arnold Dusen were elected to the offices of elder and deacon respectively. Both have had liberty to accept their office. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory. The Lord willing, installation will take place on Sunday, January 5th in the morning service. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Nancy Vandenberg, who was spared in a car accident in this past week. Mrs. Joanne Olliman, who, after suffering a heart attack, is in the hospital in Calgary. Mrs. Harry DePuter, who had fallen and broken a rib. Braden Grisnick, who was in the hospital and came home again with continuing concerns. Mrs. Johanna de Kock, who was in the hospital and is back in Bethesda. Also, Reverend Bazin hopes to see a doctor in the States this week for difficulties with his heart. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created us good and upright, and where there was not a care and not a sorrow, where there was no sickness and no accidents, and where there was no death, and from this we have revolted, and we have turned our back unto thee, and now we do suffer the consequences, when all kinds of misery, of sickness, and of sorrow must be experienced in this world. Wilt thou give us eyes to see the cause, and hearts to grieve over our own sin, because it is but the beginning of sorrows, if there is no change of heart between the cradle and the grave, when we will enter into that eternal abyss, where there is every misery and sorrow and pain to be experienced, and that without hope to a never-ending eternity. Lord, wilt thou cause the callings to be sanctified to those who receive them, but unto each and every one of us also. Remember her that was in an accident in this past week, after they have stood together as a family at an open grave. And when thou hast spared yet her life, Lord, that thou may give a strength also unto her, for the body, all that is necessary, but especially in the way wherein thou dost lead them through many trials and through many cares in this world. Wilt thou cause also thy Spirit to sanctify thy word, that it may be to father and mother and to children alike a blessing, that there may be a honey yet to be tasted on the end of the rod. Look upon her that lays in the hospital in this day. Lord, thou knowest all her cares also and the needs of her body. Thou knowest the decision of the doctors not to operate, but to use the medications. Lord, wilt thou bless them in thy mercy, and wilt thou give her, when she cannot be with us in thy, on thy day, a blessing in thy house, in the hospital, from thy holy sanctuary above. Remember also others. We have heard they have been in the hospital. They are privileged to come home again. There are those who are very old. There are also those who are very young. And the troubles, they are coming to each one. And they are saying unto them and us, set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. Oh, that thou may prepare us all together, young and old, and wilt thou cause us to seek that man who shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the storm and from the tempest. We may hear of him in these weeks, the promise of his coming. Oh, could it be a need may be born in the hearts of each and every one, because we are so careless in this world, when all the needs of the time and also the prosperity of the world does draw us to all that is earthly and carnal and sensual. Oh, that our hearts this day, and this day wherein thou dost set us aside from all the labors of the world, that our hearts may be drawn by the powerful and effectual working of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, to draw us, that our treasure may be above, that our heart may be there also, that the preaching of thy word may be sanctified and blessed, and that thy word may be opened unto us as thy servant to bring it in this morning hour, that we may receive that freedom and that liberty, that we may have that opening that alone can come from thee, and that thou may open the windows of heaven for the sake of the famine that is here upon the earth, wherein also there is experienced a hunger and thirst by those who are made alive by thy Spirit. O Lord, then there is a people who are not able to give unto themselves food and drink. Thou knowest, Lord, where that they are. Thou knowest the place where they dwell. Thou knowest the need that lives within their heart. And then it is even as thy servant did lay it out, that a people do attempt to flee from a city of destruction, saying, life, life, eternal life. O Lord, then they do not know how to receive it. They do not know the way. Their eyes are so closed, and that way that is so darkened. O thou must lead them step by step, and thou must bring them unto Zion. Otherwise they shall not find that way. O give us liberty. Give us opening to proclaim it, that those for whom there is no way may receive an opening in this morning hour, and that thy own dear Son, who was promised and who was also given at thy appointed time, and who has come to fulfill all things for the sake of those who have sinned everything away, and who are not able anymore to bring the least of that obedience that is required. Oh, who are weak in the flesh, who are dead in sins and in trespasses by nature, but who are made alive by thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that for such ones he has come to pay that great price, that they would not have to pay it anymore. Wilt thou open unto them the blessedness of him who was set aside already in eternity by the Father for the sake of those who would no longer be able to fulfill it, and who would turn their backs upon thee, and who could not return unto thee except that thou wouldst draw them. O Lord, remember us all together in thy mercy. Be with thy servant also, who may bring thy word from Sabbath to Sabbath in this area in which we are, in our sister congregation. Thou knowest the difficulties which he is experiencing, and the need for which he must see the physicians in this world. Lord, could it please thee to remember him and to bless the means that are used for his body, that he may continue in the bringing of thy holy word. And may thou remember him for his own soul also. Remember all thy servants, all increase their number, that they may go forward and more to bring thy word in the mission field and in the established congregations. Lord, remember us in this morning. Be on our right and on our left to give what is needed in for strength in the body, for clarity in the mind, for an urgency in our soul. All that thy Spirit may come, even as the dew in this morning, that it may be that thy word would be sanctified in the midst of us together. We ask it in the forgiveness, Lord, remember those also that have been able to accept the offices to which they have been elected. Lord, that thou may look upon them, and that thou, when the installation also will take place, that they may receive it for the first, but also by renewal, that they may be given to experience that it is a calling from Thee. Wilt Thou help us then and remember us in this morning? Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry, and in Thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause Thy servant to be tried before Thy holy laws. No man is justified. We announce, the Lord willing, the annual Christmas program that will take place this coming Thursday at 7:30 p.m. 389, 1, 3, and 4. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 2nd verse. Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So far the words of our text. A great light seen by those who walk in darkness. First, the darkness. Second, the light. A great light seen by those who walk in darkness. First, the darkness. Second, the light. Nevertheless, the dimness, that is verse 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. The dimness, what is that? That is the darkness. The darkness. That darkness that shall not be such as was in her vexation. Thus, it will. There is here a difference in the darkness. That Isaiah says that there is some darkness that is not as dark as another darkness. Thus, sometimes there is a little bit of light in the darkness, and other times then we know that it can be a complete darkness. Darkness, congregation, that is very frightful. Boys and girls, when it is night and your mother puts you to bed, then it is perhaps that you ask your mother if she will leave the door open just a little bit, or that she will put on just a little light, because that darkness that is to you very fearful. Maybe the older ones, they say, well, I am not afraid of the dark. Yes, that may be. But why are you not afraid? You are not afraid because of an expectation. You are not afraid because you know that darkness that is not always going to be. That in the morning, that light is going to again appear. But what if the sun did not come up? What if in the morning that it remained so very, very dark? Then how frightful this would be. That is something that has taken place a long time ago. That is actually something that has taken place here on this continent a long time ago. We read that in the Word of God. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is that this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And when that was on the other side of the earth, then what has happened over here, that means that in the morning, well, then there was no morning. That means that in the appointed time, the sun that was not coming up, and that for a whole day. Oh, what a fearful time. There are two consolations in the darkness. That is, in the first place, when there may be a little ray of light. That is a consolation. Or even if there is complete darkness, then what is a consolation? Then the consolation is an expectation of light. That darkness, that it will come to an end. How was that in Egypt? 3 days. We read that there was darkness. Was there a ray of light? Oh, there was a darkness that is said that could be felt. There was not a ray of light in that darkness, fearful. And then it was not an hour. It was not 2 hours. But then a whole day. And then the next day. And then the third day. Oh, then how fearful those Egyptians were living in those days, because there was not a ray of light. And how was it with the expectation? They did not know. They did not know whether ever they would see that light of the sun again. Darkness that is so fearful. And the Lord Jesus speaks in His Word about an outer darkness. And that is that darkness, congregation, to which we are traveling if we are still in that state in which we have been born. An outer darkness. There is in that darkness not a ray of light. Not a ray. That is a pitch black darkness. And there is certainly in that darkness not a hope. There is not an expectation that darkness shall ever come unto an end. Oh, how careless. How careless that we are living as we are going over this world, not knowing by some disease, not knowing by some accident, whether we shall any moment fall into that eternal abyss, and then for it to be dark, 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 and never a hope that it shall ever become light again. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. This is, congregation, a comparison. Nevertheless, the dimness now shall not be such as was. It is a comparison. It is a comparison of two darknesses. What is that first darkness? Let us go back a few verses, former chapter. That is to chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. And that darkness that is speaking about the captivity that is coming. Which captivity? It is speaking about the captivity that is coming to the land of Judah. That is in the future. That is going to happen in the year 587 BC. And Isaiah prophesies about it. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God, and look upward, and they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. That is the Babylonian captivity. Isaiah, he calls it darkness. Indeed, it is darkness. It is a captivity. It is as it were going into the prison. The prison that is a place where it is dark. Is it not dark? When the people of the Lord are taken into captivity, is it not dark? When the enemy is rejoicing over God's church, is it not dark? When the Lord is hiding his face, as we read in verse 17, the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, is it then not dark? And what is the cause of that darkness? Read in verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto the wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living unto the dead? What is the cause of the darkness? What is the cause of that captivity? That is the sin of that people. They have forsaken the Lord. That was the sin of Ephraim. You remember, boys and girls, the 10 tribes. That was that northern kingdom. And what have they done in Jeroboam? They have left the Lord. And they have set up the calves in Dan and in Bethel. They said, you do not need to go up unto the house of the Lord. And then they are looking to serve as all the nations that are round about them. Oh, to serve their gods. That is the sin. That is the cause. And then what is Isaiah doing? He is warning Judah. He says, then do not go in that same way as your sister Israel, as your sister Ephraim, to serve those idols. And he is speaking about the Babylonian captivity that is coming. That also Judah is going to be taken into captivity, into the land of her enemies, the lower kingdom. Nevertheless, the dimness, the darkness of that captivity, that shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun. What is he speaking about here? He is making a comparison. That is this second captivity, the captivity of the land of Judah. He is comparing to the captivity of Ephraim, the captivity of the Israelites of the northern kingdom. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. There were two deportations of the northern kingdom. Two deportations. One, the first time, that the enemy has attacked the peoples that were on the edges of the land, in the very north part of the kingdom and on the east side of that Jordan River. So we know that the 2.5 tribes, they were living on the east side of that river. And then, as we can read here, Zebulun and Naphtali, they were the two tribes that were all the way in the north. And that was the very first attack, the very first captivity that has affected the children of Israel. Tiglath-Pileser, 740 BC, he has come and he has taken many of those people all the way in the north, that land of Galilee, he has taken them into captivity. And for 18 years, that people, they have suffered in a terrible way. And yet that first captivity of Ephraim, the northern kingdom, that first captivity, he says, that was light, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, that captivity was light compared to, later on, 722 BC, 18 years later, and then the enemy, he has come deeper. He has come on the west side of that Jordan. He has come south, and Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, he has even taken the capital. He has come unto Syria. That is what we read here. And afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Thus, that became the end of that kingdom of the northern tribes. Isaiah, he speaks about it. And then he speaks about the next captivity that is coming. And that is the captivity of the land of Judah. And he says that that shall be very dark. He says, behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Nevertheless, what a beautiful word. Nevertheless, that is a word that he uses when he begins to speak about the captivity and the darkness of the land of Judea. And what does he say then? He says that that captivity, that is not going to be, though it will be dark, he says it is not going to be as dark as that captivity of the land of Israel, of the Ephraimites. You say, how can that be? When not only the land of Israel, which has departed from the Lord, but even the Lord's people, you say, even those wherein the truth has been kept, when the temple of the Lord will be laid flat with the ground, when it will be burned completely down. Oh, then you say, is that darkness not even so very much greater than the darkness that came upon the land of Ephraim? That is true. And yet, the Lord says the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when he took the 10 tribes captive. And why not? Why not? Let us go for a moment to the 20th verse of the 8th chapter. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Do you know what it says actually in the original? It says, there shall be unto them no dawn. There shall be unto them no morning. It shall remain dark. If they speak not according unto this word. How was that with Ephraim? They left it. They left it. They forsook the Lord. and they return not unto him. Remember Hezekiah? When he has sent those messengers, come now also unto Mount Zion. And they laughed them, they mocked them. No, they would not speak according to this word. And then he says, there shall be to that people no dawn, no morning. But it will be different with Judah. Why? Because there is a promise unto Judah. What is that promise to Judah? The promise to Judah was they are going into captivity, but that captivity will have an end. They are also going to return from that captivity. How long will it take, boys and girls, before they return from that captivity? 70 years. And then it can be so, so dark. But in the darkness, there is an expectation. There is an expectation that that darkness that is going to come to an end. And therefore, there is for the people a ray of light. A ray of light. And now that promise of the return from their captivity, that is something that is only the beginning, because that promise that goes, we hope to see that, that actually goes past that temporal deliverance, and it goes all the way to the time of the coming of Christ. Because that is now the final and the ultimate deliverance for the people of the Lord. Now, there is something else, because we speak here about the people of the Lord. And Judah, that really, that is a type of the people of the Lord, where true worship that was still kept. But we know that the greatest part of the people, they did not serve the Lord in truth. And yet, there was a remnant. There was a remnant in Judah. However, there was also a remnant in Ephraim. And we wish, congregation, because that is what our text is speaking about, thus we must consider in a special way, in this morning hour, the remnant that is in Ephraim, because there was not a people in that whole land, north to the south, east to the west, for whom that it was so dark as that remnant that was in Ephraim. Why? Because they belonged to a people that had left the Lord. That had left the Lord. That was their heritage. And that was their grief. And the sin of themselves and of their fathers. That was to them a heavy, heavy burden. And now the Lord, he is giving a command unto Isaiah. Look at verse 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among whom? My disciples, the disciples of the Lord. Thus, the Lord is coming to Isaiah to say to him, to show unto him, that even though all these people in Israel and Judah, they do not want to listen to him, there is a remnant there. There is a remnant there. And that is an encouragement for Isaiah. And that is so necessary for Isaiah to receive an encouragement. Why? Because he had so many enemies. Let's go back a little further. 11 through 13. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy? Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. What does it mean? It means this people, just as Jeremiah, this people, that is the Israelites, the Judeans, they accused Isaiah of being a confederate with the enemy. They said that you are a traitor. And that is why that you want us just to wait upon the Lord. That is why you do not want us to call the Assyrians to our help. And you wish that we will be destroyed as a nation. You are confederate with the enemy. The Lord says, do not listen to them. Do not listen to them. And all you that are with Isaiah, you do also not need to say a confederacy with all those people that Isaiah is a traitor. No, let the Lord be your fear. Let the Lord be your dread, and do not be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He will be an offense, a rock of offense to both the houses, to Ephraim and to Judah. But he will also be a sanctuary. For whom? For that remnant. For that remnant that is in Ephraim and that is in Judah. Who are they? Verse 17. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Oh, who are they? They are those who are waiting. They are waiting upon the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. They are looking unto him. And we want to think in a special way for a moment about the remnant where, boys and girls, the remnant that is in Ephraim. Ephraim. They are waiting. They are waiting for whom? They are waiting for the Lord, who is hiding his face from whom? From the house of Jacob. That is that house that their nation has left. Thus this people, they are from a different nation. They are from a rebellious nation. And they are looking unto the people of the Lord. They are looking unto the people of Judah. And they are looking unto that promise that the Lord has given unto his own people. And they are waiting for him. We must remember, when the Lord gave that people to return from captivity, there were no two houses anymore. No, it was just the house of Judah. But that remnant from Ephraim, they have joined them again. They have never more returned anymore unto their idols. Thus that remnant. And Isaiah, he is not ashamed, though that remnant is mocked by all Judah and is mocked by all Israel, that is that visible church. Isaiah, he is not ashamed to stand with that people. He says, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. There he is standing. He gathers them as it were, and he is standing before the face of the Lord, and he is standing before all of Judah and of Ephraim. And he is showing unto them that he is standing with that people. Oh, that is a people that are oppressed, even in their own land. That is a people that are opposed, but he says they are given unto me. And now you have to read the book of Hebrews, and we can't go into everything, but the Apostle Paul, he quotes this very text concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He says concerning Christ that Isaiah here is actually a type of the Lord Jesus. When he says, "Behold, I and the children whom thou hast given unto me." And what is the context there in Hebrews? When Christ, he says, that he is not ashamed to call them brethren, who through fear of death were all their life subject unto bondage. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Yes, Isaiah, you must preach. And that word that must go out to the whole visible church. But do not be too discouraged, because they are not going to listen. But there is a people there. That is a remnant. Bind that word up. It will be bound up. Seal that word. It will be sealed. It will be sealed. It will be like a closed book unto those who have no desire to walk in my ways. It will be hid from the wise and the prudent of this world, but it will also be sealed in the hearts of my people. It will be bound in the hearts of my people. And that remnant that is waiting, oh, let it be bound there. A promise that is unto the house of Judah. Congregation, our first point, the darkness. The people that walk in darkness. That is not only then, that is also now. And now we want to say, what kind of darkness is that? That they are walking in. That is not an actual darkness. Cannot be. That is impossible. Why? Because in regeneration, then they receive light. They receive light. It is the raising from the grave where it is dark. Then they receive the light of spiritual life. And that light that can never be taken away. All then they see. Their eyes are opened. And what do they see? They see the reality. They see how it is and how it was. They see how that they were created. They see how it is with me now. They see what that greatest good is that is God. Oh, they see what that greatest evil is that is sin. They see that relation that there is between God and my soul, that it is broken, that there is a separation. All they see because there is light, because there is light. And through that light, by that light, what do they see? They see the darkness. That is a mystery, but they see the bondage. They see the captivity. And they see how that they are in the grip of the devil. They see the separation between God and their soul. And they see the cause. That is not the Lord. But that is sin. That is my sin. That is the sin of my father, Adam. That is that people unto whom I belong. That I am outside of the kingdom because I have left with my people that kingdom. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. Oh no. Nevertheless, that darkness that they do see, that they do feel. That is not the darkness wherein there is no hope. That is not the darkness wherein there is complete despair. That is not the darkness wherein lies no expectation. Because that is the darkness of that eternal pit. But our text does not say that they are dwelling in death, in the land of death. What does it say, boys and girls? It says that they are dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. And then it can be for that people so dark. But from that moment of the new birth, that is a people that are never completely without hope. Although we cannot say that their hope that is always in the right place, no. Because in the beginning, oh, then their hope is so much in themselves, so much in that creature strength. Then there is still a creature wisdom. Then there is still a creature righteousness. But this is now what has to be stripped away more and more, more and more. Then they are coming, congregation, to stand on the outside. More and more, they are coming to stand as that remnant in Ephraim that belong unto that sinful people that have left the Lord in paradise and who have no right because of their sin that they may come back unto Him. But they are standing, looking, and they are longing. They are looking at that true people of the Lord. And with a holy jealousy that is living in their soul. And then they are longing. Then they are yearning. And they are saying, oh Lord, remember me. With the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. That I may see the good of thy chosen. And that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. All they do not see the way, how that they can be included, a people that walk in darkness and that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. But now what does Isaiah prophesy about that people? Let us sing first. 364. From out the depth I cry to thee, O let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating plea. Have mercy, Lord. 1 through 4 of 364. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. That is, in the past tense, they have seen, and it hath shined. Did it happen yet, children? Not yet. Not yet. That is future. And Isaiah, he speaks like it happened already. How is that possible? Because it was so sure. It was so sure. And then he brings it as unto that people as if that it has already taken place. Of course, that return of Judah, the restoration of Judah from Babylon, that was promised unto them. But that was a deliverance that was not the final deliverance. But that goes further. And now Isaiah prophesies something. He says that Judah is not going to be the first to see that deliverance. Let us look for a moment at the fulfillment of this prophecy. Matthew 4, verses 12 through 17. Matthew 4, verses 12 through 17. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Isaiah prophesies that it is not going to be Judah that will see the first light of the gospel. Who is it going to be? He said it is going to be that despised remnant in Ephraim, in Galilee. And that was fulfilled when he went and he dwelt in Capernaum. That is called there Galilee of the Gentiles. Why? That was on the border. That was on the border with the Gentiles, with the Syrians and with the Assyrians. And because it was on the border, that was the first people to receive their afflictions. We know Solomon gave 20 cities unto Hiram. And then there was a mixed multitude in that place. And it was despised in general throughout the land. Read what the Pharisees say unto Nicodemus when he is speaking about the Lord Jesus. And they said, search and look, because out of Galilee there ariseth no prophet. That was false. That was false. It is written in the book of Isaiah, and it is written also in the records of the Jews that they were going to be looking for this prophet out of Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. What a light. What a light congregation has burst upon that people when the Lord Jesus, he appeared in their midst. When he went about all Galilee, we read, teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. And the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Then we read that the fame of him that is gone throughout all of Syria, and that they have brought unto him all the sick and the diseased, and those that were tormented and possessed with devils, and that he has healed them. And then he has begun to open his mouth, and those blessed truths have come forth first unto that people. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That afflicted remnant, that is laying in the darkness of the shadow of death, that was for that people as if they arose out of their graves. And when that light that began to shine, that was a deliverance from the prison into great liberty. That was the deliverance from darkness unto light. O congregation, has now the Lord changed? Has he changed? The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Oh, to whom does he appear? Does he not appear unto them that are walking in darkness? Does he not appear unto them who are dwelling in the shadow of death? Does he not appear unto them who are standing on the outside, who have sinned everything away, who with their father Adam has departed from the Lord? Does he not appear unto them who are laying in their own sin, who are laying in their own guilt? Or is there such a people also in our day, also in our midst? A people that though they have gone away from that kingdom, and they have left the service of the Lord, By the Spirit of the Lord, they have come to look, and they have come to long for that true people of the Lord. And that they say, thy people, my people, thy God, my God, a people that are standing on the outside, and that do not know how to bring themselves on the inside, because they have no light to see the way. Oh, this congregation is the people. That is not our word. No, that is the word of God. The people that have walked in darkness, and they have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Will you not ask the Lord's people about a great light? Or will you not ask that people what light that they have seen? And when the Lord has come, and when the Lord has revealed his only begotten Son unto them, will you not ask them about that light that has shone in their heart, that has shone in their life, when that way has gone open, revealed unto them by the Lord? Oh, a great light. When those divine rays, they have shone something upon that blessed Savior, or when some aspect of his mediatorial work was opened unto them, oh, a great light. And while they were sitting in the house of God under the preaching of his word, or when they were in their own home in their inner chamber, and when they were searching even as that eunuch and reading and trying to find the meaning of the word of God, when those heavenly rays, they have shone upon that word, And when they have filled the heart, and when that people, they have seen a great light, oh, will you not ask that people that in that moment when the Lord has shown unto them His only begotten Son, how that the foundation has fallen out of that old broken covenant of works because of the weakness of their flesh. Oh, how they have seen it in that moment. Oh, what a light that the Lord has shown unto them, even as a Luther. Will you read his history? Even as a Luther, when he is studying, working in the ministry, he must preach, he must teach. And then he is considering the suffering, that awful suffering of that Son of God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, how then can that be? That one, that innocent, that pure one, that he is not only condemned by man, but that he is forsaken of his Father. Oh, and then he is struggling over how that it is possible. And then the Lord is opening unto him when he is searching how it is possible that God can both be just and the justifier of him of the ungodly, just and the justifier. And in those two words, oh, then he has seen the difference, and that from the side of God, how that he can be both in one, the just, be just and the justifier of the ungodly. How? Oh, in his only begotten Son. Oh, and then the just, they shall live by faith. Do you know what Luther says? He says, I felt as if I was reborn. He says, I felt as if I have entered into the gates of paradise. He says, the scriptures, the whole of the scriptures, they have received a new meaning, a great light. Oh, how the soul of the people that is leaping for joy, even as that lame man at the gate beautiful to say, come all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Oh, ask the people, ask what they have seen when they have seen that great light, how they have seen in him in his necessity as that one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Oh, ask them once about that light, and how they have seen him in his preciousness, white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, altogether lovely. Ask them once how they have seen that great light, and how they have seen him also in his suitability, even for such a one as they are, who is sunken in the depths of misery and of sin, and who is standing on the outside, and it is his own fault that he is not able to enter in again, but that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost, and that he is sitting and that he is eating with publicans and with sinners. Oh, ask them once how that they have seen him. Ask them how that they have felt. And when they say, I cannot understand that I have never seen it before in my life. And when I have read the Word of God, and when I have heard that preaching from when I was very young, and when I am 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and then the Lord is coming to reveal unto me His only begotten Son. Oh, ask them once about that great light, whereby their heart that is going out after him in holy hungerings, longings, and thirstings. O congregation, a great light. No, we do not say that he is coming with a great show in this world. It may be just by a still small voice, and yet it is a great light. Is that not what the shepherd saw? The shepherd saw that heavenly light, and when that glory of the Lord that shone round about them. Oh, congregation, are we still a stranger? Are we still a stranger of this great light? Oh, have we never been given by the Spirit of the Lord to see the smallest part of that great light? Oh, but first comes the darkness. First, there is Advent. Before that, there is Christmas. And now it is the darkest part of the night that is coming just before the morning. And so it is coming so unexpected in the life of that people. But if there is indeed people that are as that remnant in Ephraim, that are walking in darkness, that are standing on the outside, that have no light, how to come on that inside? Then we would say, wait, why? Oh, because the Lord, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says it. The people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Oh, wait then upon the Lord. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest where that they are. And we can open nothing. Oh, we cannot give that light. Or we may be given to say, as to stammer a few words about that light. But thou art the light, and thou art able to shine forth unto them that are in darkness this day, and that are dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, open thy word, show it unto them. Oh, then that old covenant shall fall away in a moment. Then they shall rejoice when they may see thee. And then they shall begin that song that shall never end to all eternity, that song of Moses and the Lamb. Bring us safely to our places, and bring us with desire to thy house in this afternoon hour. Help in the leading, help in the hearing. Forgive all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 417, 1 and 3, send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. Oh, let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied. With grace thou wilt provide. 1 and 3 of 417. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.